The Marching Round Table is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
This podcast is sponsored by Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable.
One of the things I'd note from especially the student end and following social media, and one of the ways at Colts that we guide our student leadership also is because a lot of times on social media, people really want to know all the details, but there's a lot of individual rights involved in this process. So that's one thing we directly will remind people too. Once attorneys are involved, the information that we're allowed to share organizationally, like, we must follow the direction of our counsel. We must protect the rights of the individuals that report also. So we're very sensitive to those priorities that we must balance for all of our stakeholders. And ultimately, it all goes back to protection of our students. And both the Corps and DCI take that very seriously.
This is a follow-up to our podcast, By Protecting Our Members, We're Protecting Our Activity. After that discussion, I reached out to DCI Executive Director Dan Acheson because I knew there were policies in place to keep members safe, and I wanted to learn more. During our conversation, I asked him if he would talk with me for a podcast because I found the information very interesting, and I thought our audience would like to hear more about this. On this podcast, Dan is joined by DCI Board of Director member Kathy Black and Colts Director Vicki McFarlane. Not only do we talk about policies and how they work, we discuss health and wellness improvements made by the Corps, and especially a conversation about this summer in 2021 and the season that Drum Corps is planning to have.
All of us as Corps directors are getting together or separately trying to write our pandemic procedures plan, right? For how we're actually going to function in 2021 when we do gather. And a few other Corps had called this week going, how are you handling this? What are you doing? And it's like, hey, we're meeting with an epidemiologist from the Tour Restart Reopening Task Force on Thursday. So do you want to join us? So then just an hour ago before this call, we were sitting together with a half dozen Corps and asking Dr. Hansen our questions of what she thinks the future might be. What do we know right now? She had just gotten out of a meeting with the CDC. But that level of collaboration has been one of the positive aspects of the pandemic. And even, like, again, for the Colts, like, our board would joke, you know, it's like, you know, our board of directors won't necessarily decide what we do or wouldn't do this summer. An epidemiologist will, you know, and right now everything's looking up. So what we're making sure is that we're prepared to go when we can go. And, but just so people know, it's not a bunch of random Corps directors sitting in a room. It's like we get together with a professional that can advise us on what to do.
We're going to do something in 2021, you know, and we've already announced that a group of Corps is going to gather in Indianapolis. And I can tell you, I'm getting excited about how that event is coming together. And we're hoping to make all of the announcement at the end of March as to exactly what's going on, tend to do in August. We're very excited about how it's coming together, what the Corps are planning to do, how they're planning to present certain programs. And you're seeing leaks of it happening now from Corps to Corps, which are great, you know, fully endorsed leaks from DCI at this point until we can get the full package put together here, which we hope to do in the next few weeks.
At Vicki's suggestion, I took a few minutes to visit the websites of many DCI Corps, and I found that each one has information on member safety that's easy to find and understand. I recommend you take a few minutes to visit these sites, plus DCI.org, to see this information. They are diligently working to protect their members. There's a video version of this podcast that anyone can watch at marchingartseducation.com. You can find that by clicking on the link where this podcast is located at the Marching Roundtable. DCI on keeping members safe on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by FJM, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com. FJM is the leader in marching arts uniform manufacturing and continues to lead the charge through groundbreaking design, superior service, and over 60 years of industry innovation. You can find the latest marching band, color guard, drumline, and drum corps uniform designs, as well as shop the Marching Arts merchandise store at fjminc.com/roundtable. Enter discount code ROUNDTABLE at checkout to receive 10% off your online merchandise order. That's ROUNDTABLE, all one word, at checkout to receive 10% off any online merchandise order. Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable. Family owned and operated since 1960.
Hi, I'm Dennis DeLucia. Recently, I had the opportunity to shoot a webinar with my dear friends, Steve Rondinero, Tom Blair, Lindsay Vento, and it was for Marching Arts Education, an operation started and run by the great Tim Hinton. And it would be terrific if you all joined, became members of MarchingArtsEducation.com so that they can continue the great work that they have begun to do in behalf of all the marching arts. So please join, check out their website, MarchingArtsEducation.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Marching Roundtable Podcast. This is Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts, and I am really excited to get to talk to these folks today. On the line with us today, Dan Acheson. How are you, Dan?
Doing great. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for being here. Also with us, Kathy Black. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Tim. Thank you.
I appreciate you being here. And Vicki McFarland, how are you?
Doing great.
So I appreciate you guys stopping everything in the middle of an afternoon to have this conversation with me. So let's go back quickly around. I think everybody knows who you are. You're all kind of famous in the world of marching and DCI. Dan, of course, the executive director of Drum Corps International, Kathy Black on the DCI board of directors, and Vicki, renowned corps director of the Colts. And it's wonderful to see you all here. So I want to set this up, everybody, for why we're here talking today, because we did a podcast that I think a lot of people listened to that was called By Protecting Our Members, We're Protecting Our Activity, or something around that line. And we were talking about emotional abuse, sexual abuse, issues of whistleblowing and how people are reporting and all these kind of things. And we were talking about the need for all this accountability. And I kept sitting there thinking the whole time, well, I know that DCI has all these policies and procedures, and I know all the member corps have policies and procedures because they are keeping members safe. So I reached out to Dan Acheson. Dan, you were so nice to respond to that. And I sort of said, I know there are policies and procedures in place, but nobody seems to be talking about that part. And we had a conversation and you started laying it all out for me. Well, the corps do this and we have these policies and I was like, I don't think everybody knows the extent of the care and work that's being done, all this kind of behind the scenes. And so I asked you, Dan, if we could have a conversation to sort of hear from DCI about what those, maybe explain to people all the policies and procedures are that are in place. And you were very kind to do that. So you agreed to do that. Here we are today. Why Kathy and Vicki for this conversation about that?
Well, Kathy was the chair of the board of directors when we really started a huge effort and pursuing making sure that every corps had policies and the DCI had the right policies and so forth. And before that, she was a member of the board of directors, and a large part of our strategic planning process that happened in 2017, where we address in the strategic plan, which you can find on DCI.org. In that plan, we address performer safety and every aspect of performer safety. Quite an expert in helping us design and put all of those types of things in place. And with regards to Vicki, Vicki is not only a longtime corps director of the Colts, but she's been the chair of the open class division for many years. And then she moved into the world class. And now she's the chair of the membership affairs committee for DCI, which addresses a lot of these topics. So I thought certainly they could help me help you try to, explain what it is that we do.
Right. Well, there's no question in my mind, and I think everybody knows, you guys are the big dog in the world of marching. You are
Marching Music's Major League. I don't think anybody questions that. And we all know that you're taking care of these students that are in your care, the members of the corps that are out there on the road. I feel like that's true, but yet these controversies come up and everybody seems to forget all that part. So let's talk about how this works. Like maybe like the whistleblower policy. Do you want to start there? What is that? How does that work? I think people might be interested to know that that's clearly in place and that the members all know it.
You know, absolutely. Let me back you up just a little bit. And that is to say this, is it's really a challenge for us, as you mentioned, because you don't know what we're doing behind the scenes for the most part. It's not a thing that we talk about publicly. You know, so many wonderful things to talk about with the performers publicly than to talk about very mundane policies and so forth. Don't get me wrong, they're important. That's why they're on DCI.org. For DCI's aspect of this, and many of the corps have their own policies on there. So alongside of that comes the whistleblower is where it starts. We want people to feel comfortable filing a concern, a complaint, a challenge, whatever the case might be with DCI related to these very sensitive matters through that mechanism. But we would encourage them first to start with the corps, because the corps have those mechanisms in place first and foremost. If they're not comfortable talking or presenting such a issue to a corps, then they'll present it to DCI, sometimes both. But what then it happens is a series of events based on what that concern might be. And it goes from, the whole spectrum of concerns that one might file. And we follow up on every one of them. We document them. We make sure that we shepherd them in the appropriate way. If we're really given some information that we can follow up, we'll file an investigation with a third party, depending upon the sensitivity of the topic or who the complaint might be about, and those types of things. So that's part of it. Kathy, do you want to give a little bit more about that?
Sure, Dan. Tim, one thing that's important to note is that DCI has required its whistleblower policies of all corps now for several years, as well as requiring a policy for itself. So if you want to lodge a complaint against a DCI staff member or volunteer, there's a whistleblower policy to do that as well. So we do require those, and the corps have to demonstrate that they have those in place every year before the season opens. And when we get complaints, I mean, we have a small team that looks at what comes in to DCI. Some of them are perhaps lifestyle type issues, things that happen on tour. Others are far more serious. And for those issues, any issue dealing with sexual harassment or sexual assault, we strictly follow requirements for mandatory reporting if there's a minor involved. And we do have a third party that we engage, recognizing that none of us are trained investigators in how to ask those particular sensitive questions. So we look to people who absolutely are trained in that area and have a good reputation in that space.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of the things that in our previous podcast conversation was talked about was, you know, people need to know how to ask and you shouldn't ask questions certain ways. And I was like, I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, I would have no idea how to do that right. So I like the idea that there's a policy in place, that there's a person, the right person is brought in to do that. That makes perfect sense to me. Also want to say, Dan, it makes sense to me also that DCI wouldn't be talking about this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we all have stuff in our lives, in our business, whatever. It's not part of what we talk about. It's just part of how it runs. But of course, out there in the world of social media and the conversations that go on, people don't know because you're not talking about it. So I appreciate you talking about it a little bit with me today.
Yeah, no. And we certainly respect that people want to know, what do they do? And we're okay being held accountable to that respect, you know, no question. From our DCI compliance committee to the internal intake process to how we shepherd it through the corps, this step is all very transparent. we make sure that multiple people get these. Like, for example, the whistleblower will come into our system, and it goes to two people immediately, two different people. And then it also goes, or the third party has access to it, would be a better way to put it, that we utilize. So at any given point in time, our third party, which is Equitability, a firm out of Chicago who does an amazing job of pursuing these matters on our behalf, but they will look inside of all of our documentation as it comes in and as we file it, because we document everything that comes to us, even anonymous tips of some sort. And, all of those things, as they come to us, I can tell you, we take very seriously and try to figure out, should we shepherd this particular one? What level does this rise to? And as it relates to the intake, I'm not a part of the intake. I have two other people that are. So if a complaint comes in about me, then they know how to shepherd that without me even knowing about it. But I do have access to the documentation after there's been files and so forth put out there. But it's, as transparent, as open to our board of directors, to members of our board of directors that monitor it on a regular basis, like Kathy. Also, the other thing I want to mention, and we should ask Vicky how it works for the Colts, but the aspect of when something comes in and how we shepherd that, every case is different. It's absolutely different. Yeah. There is no standard for any one case that comes to us. So it's important that people understand that when they file something, every one of them is treated as a unique case when we push these things forward, and because they're all sensitive in their own way. And we want to make sure the ultimate goal, of course, is the performers having a safe environment.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's what's so mind-boggling to me is, like you said, the variety of what this could be. And they're like all just all over the map. It could be all kinds of different things. But I love that you said, like, there's this procedure where there's not somebody that can just hide it away and move on. Like, there's a procedure in place that's very clearly transparent. Multiple people get the – I like hearing that. That makes me feel better. Vicky, how does this work at the core level?
Very similar, when I should note that I'm speaking for the Colts, not for other cores.
Sure,
but
sure.
A lot of cores are very similar. And one thing I've liked is DCI has always, in my mind, been an excellent example of how we as an organization should pay attention and professionally handle these things. And so we have a whistleblower reporting location on our website, and we have a policy also visible on our website. Over the last few years, one of the things we did adjust is we want to make sure that it's immediately available or that anyone in the world can find it, right? So we decided at the Colts, let's just put it on the bottom of every single web page. So if you go to any Colts.org page, it's at the bottom of every single page. So there's no question of finding those things or not. As we've, the last few years have allowed us to refine some of those small details to make sure it's not just there, but it's immediate. Someone can locate it immediately, and then they can utilize it as they'd like. At the Colts, those reports also, for example, don't come to me. They go to our board's executive committee, because those individuals handle it. Every whistleblower must be addressed, and we also have anti-retaliation policies. That those are policies we all as organizations have, and I just had double-checked in with our executive director today going, like, I don't always know who those individuals are, but it was a good reminder to me that for Colts, it's the executive committee. They would determine how to handle it. If we needed to engage an outside counsel, we do have representative here in Dubuque we would utilize, but every whistleblower report must be investigated in some way, have a course of action, and be taken seriously.
And again, it does. It's not like it goes to the core director and the core director tries, you know, has any ability to hide or affect or whatever, because those are the horror stories that we keep hearing is, you know, I don't want to get that person in trouble. Like obviously there was a story on the podcast that we discussed before, you know, well, we're close to our championships and we don't want, you know, and that's all like super uncomfortable. But what you're describing is something completely aside from that. Like there's a procedures now in place where those kind of things can't happen, it sounds like.
And one of the things I'd note from especially the student end and following social media, and one of the ways at Colts that we guide our student leadership also is because a lot of times on social media, people really want to know all the details, but there's a lot of individual rights involved in this process. So that's one thing we directly will remind people too. Once attorneys are involved, the information that we're allowed to share organizationally, like, we must follow the direction of our counsel. We must protect the rights of the individuals that report also. So we're very sensitive to those priorities that we must balance for all of our stakeholders. And ultimately, it all goes back to protection of our students. And both the Corps and DCI take that very seriously.
So what Vicki has said is very important, because where we're at as an activity is we've evolved to making sure that we put these measures in place to the nth degree. And while whatever requirements were for the day, we adhered to and we attempted to adhere to as organizations, that has evolved over time. The way I was taught, the way I was fed as a Corps member, the way I was dealing with rehearsal time and free time and all that was a lot different than certainly it is today. So as a result, the requirements, the focus on performers' safety from a health wellness standpoint and from these sensitive compliance issues and all of those has evolved over time. And we haven't caught up to everything yet. You know, just to lay it out, we just haven't caught up to everything yet. We're working as diligently as we can. The Corps are working as diligently as they can to catch up to those things. And there's a lot more work yet to be done. But, you know, what we wanted to do. That's true. But we are doing a lot and have evolved a lot, especially in the last 5 to 10 years as organizations.
And I could piggyback off that. I really like how Dan refers to the ongoing process. This is like an ongoing process of refinement right now, but this will perpetually for us be a continued ongoing process. And I mean, and even just flashing back, even just in 8 years, how much things have changed. But I really like using the term scholastic environment. When I think through the history of Drum Corps, I don't know all of our like, Boomer alumni would refer to the 70s or 80s being a scholastic environment. That's one thing a lot of Corps are very different about now is I like to refer to it as a scholastic environment, that those standards are what we must all offer.
You know what I love about what you just said is we're all completely aware of how much the activity has changed over, say, the last 10 years. I mean, look what they're wearing. Look what they're playing. Look at the sounds coming out of the Corps. Like, I mean, we all are overwhelmed with that. It's exciting. It's challenging. But what's interesting, Vicki, is you pointed out that the same change and evolution and growth is going on behind the scenes in these ways we're talking about today that nobody knows. So that's why I wanted to have this conversation, right? Like that, you mentioned that ongoing evolution that's happening in the policies and stuff. Is there a, do we want to talk at all about how policies come to be or if there's a procedure for those? Dan, is that something that would be helpful to talk about?
Well, I think one in particular I'd like Kathy to address is one that she was very much a part of authoring, and that is the DCI Community Code of Conduct and Ethics Guidelines and why we felt at that time it was important to insert that in, which is 3 years ago. Kathy?
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that. As Dan mentioned earlier, back in 2017, we put our strategic plan in place, and that called for a specific initiative around performer health and safety. And we were talking about how to put that together When in early 2018, the Me Too movement started, and there was a lot of talk about women in the activity. And then, of course, there were some specific events that occurred in the spring of 2018, and some of those events directly led to me becoming chair of the DCI Board of Directors at that time. So this was something that was on our radar, and we were working diligently to really change how we approach performer health and wellness, and to put in place some significant guidelines that will help corps understand what is expected of them, not just the drum corps, but all participating organizations at DCI, what is expected of them if they're going to come to the starting line and perform at a DCI event. And we put those out there, developed, of course, with legal counsel and with the board working on that very, very hard in order to protect everyone who wants to participate. We put in place some very new things. For example, we banned the relationships between a staff member and a marching member. Even if both were adults and the staff member was relatively young. And that was the first time we actually put that prohibition in place. And I can assure you, Tim, we have taken a number of actions over the years since the spring of 2018 based on those guidelines and code of conduct. Now, those are not the kind of things that we're going to put out a press release about because they are confidential. And we are not at liberty to discuss many things you know, exactly what kind of disciplinary action was taken in a particular situation. We are not just random people on the internet. We actually do have some important requirements for confidentiality. Just wanted to say that. Thanks, Tim.
Well, no, but I'm glad you said that because, Dan, you mentioned that a minute ago. Everybody online wants to hear all the details and who did what. And like, that's not appropriate. Come on, everybody. Like, we know that shouldn't be. I mean, I know that's the way the internet seems to feel. But, like, come on. If I am involved in something and I have to tell somebody, like, I don't want everybody to know my business. But what I wanted to do today was remind everybody, okay, there's a procedure in place and people are being taken care of, even if maybe we don't all know it. It almost feels like if this happens right, we shouldn't know. But then how do you guys let people know that you do? You know what I mean? So what a question. It's kind of a catch-22 for you guys.
Yeah, and it's important to point out that, you know, there are times when the internet is helpful in these kinds of situations. We find things out that we had no idea. And that's why I just can't stress enough how important it is for anybody who feels like they want to report something to please report it to these channels, to the Corps, to DCI, to what you know, whatever entity is actually going to follow it up and take care of it. And I know that there are times when it seems like it's not being followed up fast enough or it's not being followed up at all. And most of that is due to the type of communication to present. And most times we're not able to talk about it. And that's out of respect for someone who is presenting the complaint. And that is for somebody who is being complained about and, you know, trying to make sure that we balance out the human sensitivities and all of that. And I think it was said before, we're not experts at any of that. You know, we're doing the best we can to balance all that. And certainly we don't want to be in a position to manage that through social media.
Gosh.
And as we're talking too, you know, that's what I was thinking just, Steven, I'm glad you said that, Ben, because what I want to make sure is anyone listening to this, and as we do talk about and use social media a lot, and we do learn things that way, that the entire whistleblower process is meant to be respectful, courteous. It can be confidential. Your business doesn't, you know, if you have a situation as an individual, people can take care of those things in a way that's respectful of your business and confidentiality too.
So
that is the delicate balance that we have to thread it. But again, it goes back to that making sure that everyone in our activity has somewhere they can turn that they're comfortable so we can all look out for each other and our activity.
So what we do on an annual basis is this DCI community forum to remind people in a very global way that these mechanisms are in place and that they should use them. Even better is that each core takes the time to sit down with their core members, their parents, and their staff, and go through the same type of policies and so forth. There's also training that occurs on dealing with children, dealing with harassment, dealing with how to file a claim, and you know, those types of things. So hazing, bullying and hazing is another one. That we make sure that we cover those bases globally. We also cover those bases, having each corps having policies in place. You know, there's a one pager that has the required documents that we require from each corps in order to participate with DCI. And Tim, I can tell you that that had 8 or 9 items on it now. Now the font size continues to shrink every time we add something so that we can keep it a one pager. So it's a good thing. And it's, I'm sure it's, you know, it's like, oh, God, what else does DCI need from us to make sure that this happens, you know? But again, you know, getting the documents in place is one thing. Knowing that these things need to occur is another. But, you know, we have a long way to go in order to get everybody in our community really understanding what it means to help be a part of a safe environment and create that safe environment.
Dan stole my thunder. I was going to say, I noticed that the print keeps getting smaller. You obviously want to keep our mandatory required items to one page, but it's a long growing list, but they're all important pieces, you know, and we just actually just over the last month had looked over all the expectations and the timelines for this year with all the core directors.
Yeah. And you know what, I want to highlight something you said, Vicki, that really I think makes a lot of sense to me. And I hope that people like will get this. Like if you're somebody that's been accused of something, or you're the person that is reporting it, I don't want everybody to know. Like if I get accused, I may be perfectly innocent, and I don't want my reputation ruined because it's out there. So I think we all need to realize there's a process. First off, there is a process in place. We're explaining that it's a very carefully done one, even though the perception may not be that all the time. And we have to have empathy for the people involved in that situation. And think, what if it was me? Come on, everybody, think about it. What if it was me? You wouldn't want everybody talking about it and making conjecture about it on social media. We would want it to be going through the right channels behind the scenes and being taken care of. And that's what's happening, but I don't think people know. So that's why we're talking. Dan, you mentioned health and wellness improvements by the Corps. One of my favorite moments, a couple years ago, I was on tour. I was out there talking to people in person. It was super fun. And I was talking to a Corps director friend of mine, and he was like, oh, yeah, there's a team of 5 people that are here that work with the Corps on health and wellness and keep them safe. And they're the ones that tell me if it's too hot or there's a storm coming, we have to leave the field. He's like, I don't have any. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, okay, like that's like a whole nother level of safety and accountability that I didn't even know existed. Not only that there's these big mega teams, but that they're also the ones that say, it's too hot, stop practice. And that coordinator can't go, wait, no, we're, you know, 2/10 behind. So it's like, no, that it's all about the kids' safety. So Dan, like that's a big change that's happened recently that I really like as a health and wellness guy. I like that we're thinking that way.
Well, that's good. I can tell you that there have been smatterings of this for years, for decades, that have been in place. I'm proud to say that when I was a Corps director a few dozen years ago, it was one of those things where we had a medical team. We had a nurse that traveled with us.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a physician's assistant, and we had an athletic trainer. And it was very important even back then, but it was never standardized. It was never a standard part of operation of every group. And we've gotten it to the point now where it's a caption. You have your brass caption, you have your color guard caption, you have your health and wellness caption. And the Corps are taking it that seriously. And that is so good because they are looking after, you know, as we've seen this evolve over the last couple of years, in particular by policy and so forth being put into place. It's been evolving for, you know, years, but it's great to see because the Corps instructors, the volunteers, the directors, and of course the performers have taken health wellness very seriously in all these matters. And because everybody has a phone, they're all meteorologists too. So Dr. Kevin would not like hearing that very much. But yeah, they all look at their phones. So we have to be weather aware when we're out there, especially with some weather changes that are occurring on our planet. You know, there's a lot for us to think about in regards to all this to keep the performers safe. And the performers themselves, thankfully, are demanding that they need to be in a safe environment like this. And one of the things that I share on a regular basis, especially with Drum Corps leaders, Drum Corps member leaders, and so forth, is that old saying, it's just Drum Corps. It's okay. That needs to be eradicated from our vocabulary, our speaking, anything we say, because it's not okay. If it's unsafe, it's not okay. And that's, you know, that's what we're really working towards. And of course, part of the health and wellness development is evolving because of the policies that we now have in place and that we're asking the Corps, Vicki, to add to that list there, right?
Well, even just though from the practical end of it too, the, you know, one of the things for us, you know, not just tracking the scale or size of our medical team or the approaches, it's been how many students complete their season, that start a season of Drum Corps, right? And the way where we've watched that number grow and making sure that we're doing everything to prepare individuals and protect them in that process. That's an evolution that also continues to get stronger in all the details, like Dan reiterated. That's one thing that's been nice. The DCI allows us a forum for that sharing so that we as the Colts aren't alone in that information, where now our teams can get together also, you know.
And we have the Marching Music Health, Wellness, and Safety Project, which is a lot of words, but that is a group of volunteers of health wellness professionals that are in that business that have been with us for years now, helping us develop these policies. And I can't even begin to tell you how thrilled they are to see Corps actually implementing them into these policies. And then, of course, the derivative to that is our Tour Reopening Task Force, which is made up of a handful of these professionals talking about all matters related to can we do something in 2021 or not. But, yeah, the evolution of the health and wellness aspect of what we do, I just remember when I was a Corps director, Nurse Mary saying, Dan, you know, the first 2 weeks, it's all knees. We're going to lose people because of knees. And, you know, I'm not the smartest guy on the planet. It took me until the next year to go, is there a way that we can stop there being a knee problem? Well, I'm glad you asked. And of course there is, right? And thankfully, yes, the activity has evolved quite a bit on the aspect of understanding what we're teaching and what we're asking the performers to do and the awareness from that side of it, as well as the awareness of how to treat these performers.
And I would say this is an area where the board and the Corps have really partnered together. After the strategic plan was put in place, I mean, we really looked at what kind of requirements are going to be placed on Corps as they tour. And we did partner and come up with a policy that said you will have a medical team with the Corps at all times. And we've also worked on expanding the resources available to performers to make sure that mental health resources are available, which is absolutely critical, of course, as well as now we have a nutritionist on the project who is helping. So we really continue to expand this. And the cooperation has been excellent between DCI, its board, and the Corps themselves.
It's just so exciting to me to hear this because, like, this is this is what it should be. You know, like if you're the cutting edge, and all these people are coming together to use their expertise to make it better and better and better and better. Like, I love hearing this. One of my favorite things is like this whole get them ready for the season thing, you know, and there's all the core members now have to go through certain physical fitness and regimen to get ready. You know, and I got to tell you, I love that bands are adopting this. Like, band directors no longer think, well, everybody shows up in the middle of the summer and the hot in July, and we try to figure out how to get them, not, you know, let's get them ready. It's so cool. And again, DCI leading the way. I love it.
Remembering it's a sport, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's very physically demanding. What were you going to say, Vicky?
I was just going to note that just, you know, all of us as core directors are getting together or separately trying to write our pandemic procedures plan, right? For how we're actually going to function in 2021 when we do gather. And a few other cores had called this week going, how are you handling this? What are you doing? And it's like, hey, we're meeting with an epidemiologist from the tour restart reopening task force on Thursday. So do you want to join us? So then just an hour ago, before this call, we were sitting together with a half dozen cores and asking Dr. Hansen our questions of what she thinks the future might be. What do we know right now? She had just gotten out of a meeting with the CDC. But that level of collaboration has been one of the positive aspects of the pandemic. And yeah. Even like, again, for the Colts, like our board would joke, you know, it's like, you know, our board of directors won't necessarily decide what we do or wouldn't do this summer. An epidemiologist will, you know, and right now everything's looking up. So what we're making sure is that we're prepared to go when we can go. And, but just so people know, it's not a bunch of random core directors sitting in a room. It's like, we get together with a professional that can advise us on what to do.
Well, so you guys brought it up. I was clearly going to see if we could talk about this year, what we can expect. That's a great place to start, Vicky, is like you're looking to the professionals for the right information. I got to tell you, I think we're all seeing a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I'm getting very encouraged. So I love that. So can you guys say any more about like what we might be doing or maybe just around this topic? I don't know, Dan, how can we approach this year? What can you say?
Well, we can... The first and foremost, of course, since we've been talking about it this entire podcast, is the performer's safety is the most important aspect of our decision making process. And as Vicky indicated, we are going to experts on this task force that I mentioned before. Not only do you have these doctors, the sports medicine doctor, this expert in infectious disease and those types of things, but we also have drum corps people inserted in that, experts in how to tour, transportation, what's going to be involved in transportation when we do this, what happens when you stop at a truck stop, what are we going to do when that happens, you know, think details like that. So we also have a risk management expert on this task force as well. So it's a lot of great smart thinking people. They've developed a 30 page plus document with a lot of fantastic information. And what Vicky is referring to, that the cores are writing, is their policy for their particular core. And most of them are using this document that was created for them to utilize to put that plan in place. And one of the requirements is they give us their first draft on April 1st.
Okay.
Where they're going to give us another draft, an updated draft, because as you know, everything's changing minute by minute on June 1st, so that we know that they're continuing to think about it. We see that they are. We know that they're being transparent about it with the parents and their performers and those types of things. So all of that being said is a hint to say we're going to do something in 2021.
We've
already announced that a group of cores is going to gather in Indianapolis. And I can tell you, I'm getting excited about how that event is coming together. And we're hoping to make all of the announcement at the end of March as to exactly what's going on, intend to do in August. We're very excited about how it's coming together, what the cores are planning to do, how they're planning to present certain programs. And you're seeing leaks of it happening now from core to core, which are great. You know, fully endorse leaks from DCI at this point until we can get the full package put together here, which we hope to do in the next few weeks. Once we do, then we'll be able to talk, openly about, this is what we're going to do. But it comes with a lot of conditions, right? Making sure that they're following protocols. It's going to be different. That's the other thing that I'm sure everyone in our society is tired of hearing. Everyone on the planet is tired of hearing. It's going to be different. Well, it is going to be different because out of necessity to make sure not only the performers are safe, but the staff that works with them are safe, the directors, the volunteers, and certainly the fans, because there are venues like Lucas Oil Stadium that, as of today, they are allowing fans to come watch basketball. We're hoping that that trend continues and they grow the capacity so that we can have as many people as we want come and join us in this celebration that we intend to have in Indianapolis. And I'll tease a little bit, maybe a few other places before you get to Indianapolis.
Yay. So obviously that's all very exciting. And first off, anybody that's listening to this, look, if anything happens after the year we've just had, if anything happens, if one core plays one song, I'm just like, I'm over the moon. Like at this point, I mean, no offense, but like whatever, anything that might happen that a kid gets to do drum corps in any way, we should all just be like super excited and just get over ourselves. Okay. Then the other thing is, I'm amazed that you say that you're going to try to figure it out this early, because it seems to me, like you said, things are shifting by the minute. I'm assuming that there is some flexibility, malleability, things could be added or changed or whatever as things maybe improve. Is that true?
I can actually simplify that from the core's end is, if we write our plans based on, let's pretend no one will have the vaccine before we move in. Let's just pretend no one had it and no volunteers, no staff, no nothing. What would we do? How would we have to approach things to make sure that everyone is as safe as possible? So if we focus our time right now on making sure we're not just sitting on our hands and worrying, that we can be prepared to go as a drum corps in the worst case scenario, and the epidemiologists, the doctors, the risk management, the attorneys, everyone stamps off on it, on these plans, then we're going to be prepared for anything. So, Tim, the way we're taking our approach at Colts and most corps, it's let's write it for the worst case scenario, because now then all we have to do is ease up some of our expectations. For students, I mean, and we say it's going to be a very different world, but a lot of our students are in marching band or in band programs at schools. Some of them are currently active, right? So masking is not very different for them. As drum corps, we'll do testing. We've told Colts students, like, we're going to test regularly. And that actually provides a potentially safer environment and add in the vaccine than what they've had during their school year. So what we're making sure we're ready to do is that we're all ready to go and that we can operate as safely as possible. So the question isn't should we or should we not? You know, the question is how should we? And when our efforts are focused there, we're going to be ready for anything.
Yeah, and Kathy,
it's exciting to get back to playing some songs. We need to hear some horns and drums.
Yes.
The performers need to have that opportunity, and society needs what we have to offer. So it's definitely time to get back and play some music.
But also, Kathy, too, from the board of directors' perspective, we're being very real about this process. Right? We have what we refer to as minimum viable conditions, and they're not all just health related. You know, they're related to, can the core really afford to do this? Can DCI really afford to do this? Will people come? Because we're going to be asking people to come and buy a ticket to help fund this great opportunity for these kids, as we always have, but even more important today for this.
Yeah, so for my part, I'm going to say, everybody, wear your mask, get your vaccine, let's have a season, okay? So if somebody says to you, we don't need to worry about all those protocols and everything, I want you to just think, do I want to see that Phantom Regiment show that was just announced or not? Okay, everybody, like, come on, let's rally around. I mean, seriously, this is the way I think about it. It's like, I want to see Drum Corps. So I'm going to wear my mask and I'm going to stay away from everybody. So that when the summer comes, if things really, because I mean, they're saying it could be a good summer, maybe, fingers crossed. So maybe when the summer comes, I can, as Kathy said, I can have my face, well, you didn't say this, but I'm saying I want my face plastered by a drum corps playing some song I love to hear. Like, I got to tell you, I just can't wait. We need it. Like you said, Kathy, like our souls need this. So let's all do our part. We didn't really get into stuff like the diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff. I don't know if we really want to stop and take time for that now. Maybe that's another conversation we have, Dan, sometime, because we've talked for a while. How would you like to end this?
I think the important aspect of everything we've discussed today is that, of course, performer safety is in the forefront of our decision making. It's not something that we feel compelled to broadcast. But it is something that we feel very compelled to be aware of in every meeting and every discussion that we have about what it is we would intend to do, even under the best of conditions, even without a pandemic, looking at all those things. And the other thing is we are so aware, and Vicky mentioned it earlier as well, this is an ongoing process. We are far from accomplishing our objectives on all these fronts because every performer must feel and be safe. And that's a tall order in our society in any human endeavor. So we're not kidding ourselves. We're going to try, just like we try to get those 100 points every time we step on the field. We're going to try to achieve and with all of these matters and how we manage these matters going forward.
Yeah, that's great. Kathy, what would you like to say in closing and to sort of sum this up for you?
Well, I would say that we've been at this for a number of years. We've made tremendous progress, but we're never finished with this task of keeping people safe and giving them the kind of experience that they are looking for and that we believe in and that we believe Drum Corps can provide. So we will remain diligent. And we welcome suggestions, and we will continue to work on this, Tim.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, Vicky, what would you like to say in closing?
Yeah, I was just thinking through, and this is where this group, I think, is a really it's an interesting role for me to be in as a core director, right? Because even whether it's with the Colts or whether it's with DCI, you know, I work for an executive director who works for a board of directors, just like Kathy was the board chair. You have Dan as the CEO of DCI. My role in a lot of scenarios, a core director's role, is the implementation of those policies. So that's one where today we talked through a lot of like, what's the words on the page? You know, what's the statement? What's the policy? But how we put those things in practice. So to me as a core director, that's my job to like reinforce and implement and continually be improving how we interpret and how we implement. So all of those things and all of these interactions are critical to that process. But that's one thing that is nice about our Drum Corps International community is just our ability to refer to other corps, to work with Drum Corps International. I've just been really impressed and pleased with all of our, with all the fellow directors and our ability to work together and really refining some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, there's another silver lining of all this, you know, that we're seeing all over our activity, not only at DCI. All right, so I have to tell you guys, like, I've listened to this conversation, and I feel better. So thank you for taking time. I mean, really, because I knew you were taking care of the students, and I knew there were policies in place, but, like, the way you've explained it has made me feel better about the fact that, and I also understand I'm probably not going to know what the procedures are, but I think I can trust that they're there and that they're being implemented and that you're being very careful and you're being thoughtful and the students are taken care of and all those things that we all want to know. So thank you for taking the time to explain this to me. I'm very excited to get to share this with whoever hopefully will listen to it. And gosh, our fingers are crossed for a great, great summer, whatever it's going to be. Like I said, if I hear one corps play one song, I'm just going to be over the moon, you know. It's going to be great. So, Dan and Kathy, Vicky, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
There's a video version of this podcast that you can watch right now at marchingartseducation.com. Find the link to that video where this podcast is located at the Marching Roundtable. If you enjoyed this podcast conversation and found it helpful, please share it with a friend or colleague who could also benefit. And if you have ideas for guests or topics for future podcasts, please contact us. Just click on the contact link or ask Tim at our website. Members at Marching Arts Education get access to special videos and interviews, including video versions of many podcasts that include extra footage not seen or heard on the podcast recording. Sign up to become a member to get access to these videos, plus every webinar, interview, and podcast at Marching Arts Education. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable. This is your host, Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. I work as a music arranger, show consultant, career coach, and life coach, and I'd love to help you. Contact me and learn more about my services at beastofthemarchingarts.com.
Hey guys, it's Lindsay Vento with the Academy and the DCI broadcast team, and I am here today to implore you and encourage you to find everything that you can in your heart and your being, and as a marching arts educator or a performer or member in any way, to continue to support Tim Hinton and the Marching Arts Education and the Marching Roundtable. I know me personally, I have taken so much value in the content that Tim has offered. I have been lucky enough to be on multiple webinars and podcasts with him. And the content that is offered from an educational standpoint, from a design standpoint, content that can be used by your membership, by your students, your high school students, by your staff, your design team, whatever it is, the content is there. And in this age when we are so virtual learning minded, right? And we're looking for ways to keep our students and our members engaged and to keep our staffs growing and learning and thriving. That content has already been provided to you. Tim Hinton has done such an amazing work just this summer alone. There are 128 webcasts and podcasts right now on his website that are available. And that's just from this summer, guys. This has been going on for years, and that content is always available. What your $5.99 a month will do, it will continue to give this platform to Tim and the Marching Roundtable. So even if you personally aren't someone who might do this weekly and might watch all of the webinars and listen to the podcasts that are available, your $5.99 is going to help other people who desperately need this. Guys, there are educators out there that they're new. I mean, can you imagine being a first-year educator in this kind of a situation and the content that this would give them to share with their students and kind of take that load off of them, because that content is already available. $5.99 a month, you would be doing such a huge thing for the marching arts and the pageantry arts in general by supporting, going to the website, clicking that membership link, paying $5.99 a month, and just keep this going for us, guys. It's really a wonderful tool, and I really hope you'll consider going straight to the website, giving that $5.99 and keeping this awesome content going and the amazing work by Tim Hinton. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach. And with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.